Morning. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We are, I'll announce the sermon series in a minute, but we're continuing a series on 2 Timothy. This is the third week. We'll wrap that up next week with chapter 4, but today is chapter 3, and I want to kind of, again, I've done this each week, but I want to set the tone. If you haven't been here to catch the first 2 weeks of this series, the tone of this letter that we are reading, 2 Timothy. Timothy was a younger man. Paul had mentored Timothy and saw him like a son. And Paul was in prison in Rome, and this was not some of his easier prison stays that he'd had earlier in his life, but he was in a dungeon. He was chained up like a criminal. He was knew that he was coming to the end of his ministry and the end of his life. And so he's got this precious friend in Christ that he has mentored, Timothy, and he's coming to the end of his life. And so these words were some of the last words that he would speak to Timothy. And he understood that the importance of what he would want to share. And so, you know, I think about that when we're coming to the end of our life. If you know that's coming, you want to tell the people important to you, the people in your life, you want to tell them important stuff. It's time to stop talking about the cowboys and the weather and those sort of things, but important eternal stuff. So we pick it up in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, Paul says to Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sounds like a great place to be, doesn't it? Kind of like to hang out where all those people are. Well, here's what he has to say. They have a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are, now, Paul wrote this, ladies. Okay, don't get mad at me. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women. I don't know any weak-willed women, but Paul evidently did. Who are these women, Paul is saying, are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, so now he's describing what will be going on, and he says, you, Timothy, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Don't we love that? We somehow forget that, don't we, church? If we are really sold out to Christ, we will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, church, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and through the power of your Spirit, you would open our minds and our hearts to your word, that you would stir us and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. So week three of the sermon series, Finishing Strong. The first week we looked at chapter one, and I'm just kind of touch on this, and it was called Breaking Bad Attitudes. And the attitudes that Paul spoke of were fear, shame, and regrets. And then week two we looked at, last week it was entitled Begin with the End in Mind. And Paul spoke of if you want to finish strong, that you need to be a person of integrity, that you need to understand that people are precious and to keep first things first. And the first thing is the gospel, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Today, our sermon title is Under the Influence. And so I want to, I kind of gave that some thought. You know, when we think about influence, you know, some of the negative ways we can see influence in our culture today. You know, if you, anybody know what the letters DUI stands for? Driving under the influence. And so what they're basically saying by that title of that particular offense, they're saying that something was influencing you to drive recklessly in this manner. And so you're driving under the influence. And that influence can be alcohol or drugs or whatever. But there's something was influencing you where you were not able to drive in the safe manner that you normally would. So there's all sorts of things that influence us in our lives. So I want us to kind of walk through this chapter 3, what Paul we're going to kind of slow it down and take a little closer look at it. The first thing, in order to finish strong, when we're thinking about influence, in order to finish strong, Paul is saying to us, avoid the wrong people. Now, that sounds really harsh, Pastor. I thought we were supposed to love everyone. That's not what he's talking about in this passage. He lists this. He goes through this list, which is a really kind of a hall of shame of human behavior, isn't it? And I can't help but, you know, when he says that there will be terrible times in the last days, I believe he was talking about from the time that Christ was resurrected and ascended to the time he comes again. I don't believe he's just talking about this little window of time that we can look forward to or dread. I think he's talking about in this moment of time when we're waiting on Christ to come again, we're people and we're broken. And I can't help but think that as I read through this list that Paul was saying, I mean, man, that describes a big chunk of our world today, doesn't it? I mean, the world that we find ourselves in, if you just look around and you just pick up the newspaper and you just watch the news and you just observe human behavior, people will be lovers of themselves. I mean, goodness gracious, are we in a self-centered society or what? I mean, it's all about me in our culture. It's all about me. Lovers of money, greed is rampant, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. My girls were disobedient all the time. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I got good girls. Every once in a while, they get a little out of hand. I have to, you know, tie them up in the back room or something. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. It goes on and on, this hall of shame of human behavior. And so what is Paul? Paul is warning Timothy, and I believe warning us, that man, that's the way the world can be. And what does he say? What's his response to that? Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. So, you know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul also, another letter to the church in Corinth from Paul, he says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. So what is Paul telling us? Is he saying that anyone who's got problems, that we're supposed to shun them? Is that what he's saying? I don't believe that's what he's saying at all. He's saying, and I know when I kind of got my life right with the Lord, it was in the early 90s, and I had friendships and things that people, and you know, I'm still friends with them today, but But we're doing things that just I knew were not bringing glory to God and were not good for me. And so began to say no to a lot of things in my life and begin to say, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make that. I mean, I didn't shun them, but soon the phone calls, the invitations stopped. They began to stop. And because I just didn't want to dwell in those places in my life that I knew were not good for me. Bad company corrupts good character. Not only is it people that can influence us, but it's the nowadays we are just bombarded with the media and, you know, music and TV and movies and internet and social media. And I'm not picking on the young people, but yeah, I mean, they just always have one of these things, you know, like they might as well mount it, right? You know, some super glue on the side. So I mean, we're being bombarded with this culture that is not glorifying God, aren't we? Am I the only one that sees it? Maybe those stations just come into my house. I don't know. But today, it doesn't just apply to people, but I think the culture has changed. Second thing I want us to look at from this passage today, in order to finish strong, not only is he telling us to avoid the wrong people, he's telling us to learn from godly people. Learn from godly people. And he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, "You, however," speaking to Timothy, "you know about my teaching, my way." Are we bold enough to say, "Watch me," to people in our lives? Are we bold enough and are we confident enough in our walk with the Lord to say, "Hey, you've watched how I've conducted myself. You know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it." What he's saying is not just about himself, but in the people that Timothy had surrounded himself in. He said, "You've seen the fruit of these people. You've seen the fruit in my life. Do that. Do that. Learn from the godly people in your life." And so I want to get you to ask yourself this. Think about people that you come in contact with in your day-to-day life. And ask yourself in each one of those relationships, do I want to be like that person? I mean, are they in category one, the people to avoid? Or are they in category two, the people to learn from? Do I want to be like that person? Do I want to follow that person's example? Do I see in this person the same qualities I see in Christ? And if the answer is yes, then watch and learn from those people. And ultimately, our ultimate example is Jesus Christ. But there are faithful people in this life that follow Christ to the best of their ability, and we can emulate. And I know Jesse Edmondson's been spoken of this morning, and I know Jesse would not want this Sunday to be about Jesse, but I've got to speak a little bit about Jesse's life. You know, when I think of that, of learning from people, from godly people, I think of my mom and my dad, and I think of people like Jesse Edmondson. Jesse was a treasure. Yee, don't you love that? I'm going to miss that little nervous thing that Jesse did. He built this altar table. He built, with help, the sound booth. And there's a welcome table out front, and other people helped him do those things. But his mark is all over our church, and I'm not talking about tangible pieces of wood. His mark is all over our church. I want to show you a picture. There's Jesse when we redid the home that had been flooded up to the ceiling in Lake Stanford. Jesse was around 80 years old when we went to Lake Stanford, and he's right there. He's hanging sheetrock. I tell you, I hadn't been here long, and I'm watching this 80-year-old gentleman hang sheetrock, and I was humbled. And I was just like, I hope I'm hanging sheetrock for a family when I'm 80. You think he didn't have anything else to do that day? He built cabinets. We have built and redone from the ground up four houses in the last 10 years here at the church. He built the cabinets in all of those but the last one that we finished about a year and a half ago. When we built Granny's house, the first house we did, went back and looked at the dates. He was around 78 when he built those cabinets. And then the houses in the Carver neighborhood, those first two that he did, he was in his early to mid 80s. And he built the cabinets up in our youth room. You youth probably didn't know that, but Jesse built those cabinets. Find godly people and watch them. That's what Paul is saying. Watch, you've seen my life. My life is an open book. My life is my story. Find godly people that follow the example of Christ and learn from them. Third thing Paul is telling us is, in order to finish strong, stay connected to God's Word. You know, I just believe, and I'm just going to say this kind of bluntly, I believe that the church is becoming biblically illiterate, and I'm not saying Wiley Methodist Church, even though we may fall into that category in some of our cases, but I think the church is becoming biblically illiterate, and we are letting the world kind of tell us, what we believe and forming our worldview. We kind of form our worldview by, what feels right, the latest, that kind of feels right. So, and then next year, I don't know if that feels right or not. So, and our worldview is constantly changing. But did you know that God has spoken? Did you know God has spoken? I mean, He has spoken. And what a gift we have in the Word of God. Here's what Paul is telling Timothy. But as for you, Timothy, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You want to be righteous? If you want to be righteous, read God's Word. You want to be in that pursuit of righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God, what a treasure it is. And I've got several Bibles, but too many times I have to dust the dust off of certain copies of my Bible when I open it up. Too many times when I open God's Word, I'm preparing to present it to you rather than letting it change my heart. Let it penetrate my heart. Listen to Psalms 1. This is the very first psalm, the very first three verses. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." You know, I don't know if you've experienced it yet, but storms will come in this life. Droughts will come in this life. Unexpected things will come to you in this life. And what I believe the psalmist is saying is that when we delight in the law of the Lord, that when the drought comes, when the storms come, whatever comes in our life, we are grounded. We have the nourishment that we have already taken in of God's Word. In order to finish strong, stay connected to God's Word. So, I'm going to go ahead and ask, do you want to finish strong in your faith in this life? I'm going to ask you, do you want to finish strong? Raise your hand if you want to finish strong. Okay. You know, I look at lives that I so admire, and one of those is Jesse Edmondson. And I look at those lives, and I'm like, man, he got it. And you may, if you get our emails, and Lynn alluded to my email, that But Jesse has never knew another church besides Wiley United Methodist Church. He was 87 and had never been a member of another church. He loved this church, and this church loved him. And Jesse just, I mean, you know, Jesse didn't throw Jesus in your face. I mean, he wasn't that kind of guy that was always, vocalizing all of that. He just lived his life. You know, you just watched him. You just watched what he did. And you went, man, that man knows the Lord. That man knows the Lord. Because it was always about loving on somebody else with him. Want to finish strong? We have to watch the influences that we put in our lives. We have to watch for the wrong sort of influences that we place in our lives. And it might be people. And you've heard me talk about, about joy suckers before. You got any joy suckers in your life? They walk in the room and it's like a vacuum. And this is the joy goes. Are there any joy suckers in your life? Are there people that just like, man, I just know that relationship, to have a close relationship with that person is not good when I'm trying to follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't love people on behalf of Christ, but just what are the influences that we put in our lives? So to finish strong, we avoid those types of influences in our lives, and we think about, I can remember, and I believe me, I was raised on country music but I can remember some of the country music. I mean, come on now. I started reading some of the songs I sang when I was growing up, when I was a boy, and I was like, oh man. Our family has gotten together for years and played music, and there's a song, "Lying Here with Linda on My Mind." And man, I thought, what a good song, man. Hank Williams would love that. And I started thinking about it. Wait a minute. He's talking about he's married to this lady, but as they're in bed, he's thinking about Linda. That's not good. Is anybody getting this? What are we putting into our minds? What is influencing us? And so, it killed about half the songs we used to sing, but I don't sing those songs anymore. There's some good country songs too. Avoid the wrong people. Learn from godly people, and stay connected to God's word. Church, to finish strong, Paul's trying to teach us. Are we listening? I want you to, if you would, bow your head in prayer. I want you to just kind of ask yourself, whose influence are you under? Just let the Holy Spirit kind of speak that to your heart for a second. Whose influence are you under? What influences your life? Father, we confess and we repent that we do not follow you the way we should. We are not influenced by you and your word the way we should be. We confess that too many times we are more influenced by the world. And Lord, we repent of that, and we thank you that you are a God of mercy, and that your mercies are new every morning, and that you're a God of grace. Father, you're also a God of holiness. Make us a holy people. Make me a holy man. Make us someone through the power of your Spirit that others can look to because we're in pursuit of you. That our heart is just running after you. Make us be like that. Father, I thank you about, thank you for the saints who have gone before us, who have shown us how to live in a way that pleases you. Help us be like them. Father, we love you and we thank you that you loved us first. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as we close. The altar's open. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just encourage you to do that this morning. What a great day to say yes to Jesus, because he's already said yes to you. So you can come forward and visit with me or come and pray.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though trouble lingers still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful.
Notes. My boss, DS, is here this morning, George and his wife Karen Price, and the 10 people I assigned to say nice things about me, please, they're right over here, so right after church, please go and see them. And also, I still need 10 greeters/ushers for next Sunday night at 6 at the Exalt service at the Paramount. So please let me know about that. You know, in wrapping up today, this Under the Influence, last week I had the joy and somewhat trepidation of helping with the fourth and fifth graders on Wednesday night. And one of the things for the lesson, we've divided into small groups, and one of the things was to ask the kids, who's been an influence in your life and why? They didn't know that I was going to be preaching on this today. And one of the fifth graders said, my grandpa. And I said, why? He said, because he's been through a whole lot of hard stuff, and he's still loving Jesus. His faith is still strong. And I happen to know the situation of this child's grandfather, and he's been through some hard stuff. They're watching. People are watching us. Whose influence are we under? Go and be influenced by Christ and go and tell someone. God bless you. We are dismissed.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always